For I also am a man subject to authority. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The miracle weekend continues today when the Church presents us in the Gospel two astounding miracles, the curing of the leper and of the centurion's servant. The leper belonged to the Jewish race, and the centurion, like us, belonged to the Gentiles, those who also were in desperate need of redemption. The centurion is truly an amazing example to us. The faith in Jesus, which he as a Gentile professed, made him humble. He said he was not worthy that our Lord should enter under his roof. Instead, he asked him only to say the word, and his servant would be healed. And the centurion said he himself was a man of authority, having subjects under him, but that he also was a man subject to authority. And as Jesus had revealed that he was God, he now showed himself to be man also, for the sacred scripture says that he marveled. We continue today with our mass prayers by looking into the prayer where the priest and ministers confess their sins and humble themselves in front of the altar of God called the Confiteor. After the prayers of the food at the altar, the Church pronounces this formula of confession. Because its recitation produces the forgiveness of venial sins, it is counted as one of the sacramentals of the Church. The priest begins the confession, and first of all, he accuses himself to God. But he is not satisfied with that. He also desires to confess his sins to all the saints, in order that they may join their prayers with the priest and obtain pardon for him. Therefore, the priest immediately adds, "I confess to the Blessed Mary Ever Virgin." He says this even if he has not committed any sin against the Holy Mother. But he has sinned in her sight, and the very thought of it urges him to make his sins known to her also. The priest does the same to the glorious Saint Michael, the great archangel, who is appointed to watch over our souls, especially at the hour of death. In like manner, he confesses to Saint John the Baptist, who was so dear to our Lord and was his precursor. Lastly, the priest desires to own his sins to Saints Peter and Paul, the two princes of the apostles. After mentioning these and all the saints, he wants even the faithful who are present know that he is a sinner. And therefore the priest says to them, "And to you, brethren," because he is now, like the centurion, humbling himself on account of his sins. He not only accuses himself before those of God's saints, but also before of those who serve him. And not satisfied with declaring himself to be a sinner, he also adds in what way he has sinned. He confesses that it is by all the three ways how men commit sin, namely by thought, word, and deed. Then, wishing to express that he has sinned this way and through his own free will, he says, "Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, and that he may outwardly testify his inner repentance, he strikes his breast three times while saying those words. Conscious of the need he has of pardon, he once more turns towards Mary and all the saints, as likewise to the faithful who are present, begging that they will all pray for him. The ministers then answer the priest by wishing him the grace of God's mercy. They express their wish under the form of prayer, during which he, the priest, remains bowed down and answers, Amen. But the ministers themselves, they stand in need of God's pardon, and therefore they repeat the same formula of the confiteor as the priest for the confession of their sins. Only instead of saying, and to you, brethren, they address the priest and call him Father. Notice that it is never allowed to change anything which the Church has prescribed for the celebration of the Mass. So in the confiteor, the ministers must always use the simple words, and to you, Father. They must add no further title, not even if they are serving a bishop or even the Pope. This double confiteor shows how the priest, in his capacity of Christ's minister, bowing down deeply and acknowledging himself unworthy of his mission, is about to enter unto the altar of God, the Holy of Holies. The confiteor, in other words, is the prayer of the priest and those who serve him in offering the holy sacrifice. But there is the time when the confiteor makes another appearance in the Mass, namely just before the people's communion. After the priest has consumed the precious blood, if there are any of the faithful to receive Holy Communion, the server, on behalf of the communicants, says the confiteor, as in the beginning of the Mass. The priest then turns to the people and says, May Almighty God have mercy upon you, forgive you your sins, and bring you to life everlasting. And servers answer, Amen. Then the priest says, May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, absolution, and remission of your sins. And servers again answer, Amen. Then, facing the communicants with the ciborium in his left hand, the priest holds one of the consecrated hosts above the ciborium with his right hand, saying, Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sins of the world. And then he adds the threefold, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Say but the word, and my soul shall be healed. The words of today's Gospel. Dear faithful, there is a reason why the confiteor is recited for the third time in the Mass. This confiteor, where the faithful humble themselves, like the centurion, in front of the priest who now stands in the place of Christ, is a clear showing that the communicants too are in need of redemption, that they too are under the authority of the priest, all the saints, Saint Michael, Mary, and God Almighty. But the spirit of the liturgical reformers, of whom Bishop Dolan spoke last Sunday, was always to cut, shorten, and change things. In the Missal of 1962, which you might remember, Bishop Dolan called a stopgap missal, this confiteor of the faithful has been suppressed. It is still recited twice in the beginning of the Mass, showing the affectionate dialogue between the priest and his ministers. But from the end of the Mass, just before the distribution of communion to the faithful, it is gone. After the celebrant's communion, the servers are directed to line up. The priest takes the host, turns around and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and, "Lord, I am not worthy," three times, and then distributes communion. How truly sad and unfortunate omission. In the traditional liturgy, the fact that the people who are about to receive the body and blood of Christ should also join the servers and confess their sins to God and his saints, it shows their humble submission to God and his saints. It also shows that significant distinction between the communion of the priest and the communion of the faithful. When the priest receives his communion, it is no longer the priest who lives, but Jesus Christ who lives in him. On the other hand, the servers, after the communion of the priest, they confess their sins in behalf of those who are about to receive the body and blood of Christ, so that if their heart should have contracted some venial sins, through this prayer of repentance and hope, they would with sorrow, humility, and confidence, like the centurion of today's gospel, beg pardon for their offenses. So you are meant to show centurion-like humility and join yourself with the servers when they say the Confiteor on your behalf, just before you receive Holy Communion. In the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, every single prayer, every single gesture, even the position of fingers or the tone of voice has a very specific meaning. To the casual observer, it might seem no big deal to suppress the Confiteor of the faithful, but it is a big deal. That's why most of the priests who used the 1962 Missal of John the 23rd simply ignore the rubrics of their own missal and keep the traditional practice of the faithful's Confiteor, which you see us practice here, following the rubrics of St. Pius X. So this stopgap missal, which, despite the fact that it is presented as traditional, really is not. Really, the mere fact that this missal, published by John the 23rd, was recommended by Benedict XVI as a traditional Tridentine missal to be used, should make any traditional Catholic stay away from it. We have a saying in Finland about these kinds of mutual recommendations, which goes, "Tuppurainen tappuraisen takuumiehenä." It's a little hard to translate in English, but it basically means Mr. Dishonest guarantees the good name of Mr. Hoodwinker. In other words, you cannot take the word of one modernist recommending the work of another modernist to be traditional. Dear faithful, as I always try to teach to our school children, Catholic religion is not a religion of good feelings. It is a religion of will, submitting and sacrificing your will to do the will of God. It is through the holy prayer of the Confiteor that we humble ourselves in front of our God, whose goodness towards us we have forgotten by sinning. Following the communicant's humbling down, the priest implores God's clemency for them, just as the people in the beginning of the Mass implored it for the priest. It is a touching exchange of supplication. He then pronounces the formula of absolution. All these prayers are meant to cleanse you from any voluntary attachment in your hearts and of your deliberate venial sins. Just like the pagan centurion in today's gospel, he was grateful to our Lord's offer to come and heal his servant. But he was also conscious enough to realize that such a visit of mercy might compromise or embarrass him. The home of the centurion was, after all, the home of a pagan. Therefore, submit yourself under the authority of your Redeemer. Say the Confiteor, make a resolution to correct yourselves of your bad thoughts, words, and deeds. And if you make serious efforts to get rid of them and approach our Lord with the pure heart of the centurion, then you can rest assured that Jesus will heal your soul as well. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.